With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. Back now talking with our basketball insider, Mike Grenier. And Mike, it's been a little too long as we approach the end of summer here. How are you doing?
We're doing okay, right? The Paris Olympics went well with basketball in USA and some of those Celtics players. And, of course, Patriots season hasn't even started yet, but we're worried whether Jacoby Brissett will make it through 2 or 3 weeks with that offensive line. And before you know it, the Celtics will be back in camp, and we're looking forward to a possible championship run, although I think there'll be a lot of challengers this coming season.
Well, you left out the Bruins, and so that's it for our sports report. See you next time. No, just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Red Sox, too.
Bruins are going to be fine, too. The Red Sox are kind of hanging by a thread, 3 or 4 games out of that third wild card spot, but I kind of don't expect them to make it.
But what I like about the Red Sox, Mike, and I think this is indicative of fans in the area, I think. Pretty much every Red Sox fan knows that this is not a championship-level team, but
right.
They sure are entertaining.
They are, and you know what? The kid, I mean, Devers, of course, is on that star level, maybe the only big star they have, but Jaren Duran has certainly caught people's attention, piling up some tremendous numbers. You know, stolen bases, triples, doubles, home runs, he's hitting close to 300. He's been the breakout player of the year for them, I believe.
I think so also, and Tristan Casas is, it looks like he could be the real thing if he can ever stay healthy. And
right.
They have some promise, and I want to ask you about, you and I have been around a long time, we've watched a lot of sports, we get into it, we're sports fans, and we've seen many different coaching styles and managerial styles and people and success and failures. What's your assessment of Alex Cora overall as a manager of a sports team?
I think he's done well with the cards that have been dealt to him. He's, like you said, he doesn't have a championship caliber roster, but yet he has them hanging in there, 3 games out, I think, right now, or 3.5 out of a wild card spot. So I think he's done really well with a patched up roster, especially in the pitching department. The pitching isn't top grade. So obviously, since the All-Star break, I believe they had perhaps the worst ERA, earned run average, in the majors, or close to it. So I think he's, you know, the only reason they are hanging by a thread is because of him and the way he's been able to put people together. I mean, look who they just signed, 44-year-old Rich Hill, for the 8th time, and he pitched well, was it last night or the night before, and he doesn't look 44. He looks youthful, but, I mean, they've signed him like 8 different times, I believe, and I put out a Twitter thing that maybe his grandchildren can throw
out. There you
go.
Ball, I saw that, yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, I was joking, of course, but, I mean, the guy is, you know, they give him every chance to contribute, and maybe if he puts together a few good innings, they still hang around close to the Minnesota Twins and the Kansas City Chiefs for that wild card spot, the third wild card spot.
Well, I've got a car that looks good, but it's old. So, you know, it doesn't perform the way it used to. So
exactly.
I agree with you. All right, let's get to the Celtics and
sure.
Basketball in general. I was intrigued this summer by the Olympic controversy, if you will, from a Boston point of view, because, yeah. First of all, picking Derek White over Jaylen Brown seemed to me incredible, first of all.
Right.
Secondly, you know, Drew Holiday belongs on the team, of course, and
of course.
So did Brown, and Derek White acquitted himself well. He's awesome. He belongs there. And then there's the thing with Jason Tatum. This has the seeds, I think, of creating all kinds of havoc with personalities. But it seems that maybe the Celtics instead will turn it around into a motivator. But what is your sense of this, and why the hell didn't Tatum play?
Well, you know, I think that Tatum has probably handled it best of all. He's trying not to upset the apple cart in any way, shape, or form. He didn't complain during the Olympics, so therefore Steve Kerr only came out for heavy criticism from the media itself or from outside sources, from players around the league who thought it was a joke that Tatum did not play. Tatum himself didn't say a peep of a word, really, that was really highly critical of Steve Kerr. And I think he had a conversation with Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown indicated that Tatum told him that he would have been better off staying at home, resting up, and getting ready for the next season, which was not like a direct. He kind of felt it was a waste of time, Jaylen Brown, according to Jason Tatum. who told Jaylen Brown he thought it was a waste of time. So I think that's the best way to sum it up. It might have been a waste of his time. Obviously, he didn't play a lot of minutes, which I was concerned about, only because he played in 101 games, or close to 100 games, counting the playoffs last season. Jason Tatum did. Mm-hmm. He plays the heavy minutes, of course, and he's the focal point of the offense, so he's going to get defensively, you know, doubled and tripled teams at different times. So I was a little concerned about his conditioning and his overall lack of rest this summer, but, I mean, he didn't play that much in Paris. So I think he's raring to go. I think Jaylen Brown will play with a chip on his shoulder all season because he was not chosen for the Olympic team. And, again, I give him credit, too, for really not, like, going crazy about not making the Olympic team. I think their focus is on the Celtics. And I also love what Drew Holiday, who did make the Olympic team, of course, and who contributed mightily to it, what he said, he was asked just a few days ago, what meant more to him, the Olympic gold medal representing the U.S. or a championship with the Celtics? And he said right away, a championship with the Celtics. And I think that's because, Rick, as you know, these guys are together, the Celtics or any other team, for they're like brothers. They're together 8-9 months of the year, travel together. They're in the hotel lobbies together. They're on the court and off the court, in the locker rooms together, much longer than the Olympic team is. So, therefore, I kind of know where he's coming from there, even though representing your country is a huge deal on a world stage. But I think, I think Drew Holiday was basically saying what he felt, and that's the Celtics title was more important to him.
I hope that the experience for Holiday and D. White does not take away from their regular season, because I worried about that too. I was thinking, you know, the travel, the practice. These guys, you know, they played 9 or 10 months. They played right into the middle of June,
right.
And now they're going to be back at it in a few weeks. They're young, of course.
Yep.
They're in great shape, but still it does take its toll.
There's no question, because when you look at it, compared to the teams that got knocked off early in the playoffs, the Celtics played an extra 5, 6, 7 weeks, more than a lot of teams in the NBA. And you know, a lot of those guys who were knocked out of the playoffs in April or early May, they go home, they rest up, they start working out on their own, or they start together with a couple of teammates, shooting around and working out, while the Celtics players were, like you said, extending the season way beyond most players in the NBA. So it is a bit of a concern, but then again, like you alluded to, Rick, the core group, the age of Tatum and Jaylen Brown is not a major concern at this point, 27 and 26, or 28 and 27 as we head into this season, respectively. So they should be in good shape. Drew Holiday seems to be an iron man, even though he's like 33, 34 years old. Nothing seems to faze him. He seems to be able to play 35, 36 minutes per game without any kind of problem. And I look forward to this coming season, Rick, I think because the challenge in the Eastern Conference is going to be phenomenal to watch, because you're talking about a highly improved Knicks team. You're talking about a Philadelphia 76ers team that added Paul George to go along with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And then you're talking about a Milwaukee team that was missing Giannis in the playoffs. He'll be back. You're talking Miami, which is a pretty good team. You're talking the Indiana Pacers, who knocked off the Knicks in the playoff, who are a pretty strong team. There are going to be some real great nights of basketball and major challenges for the Celtics as we go forward here.
If you could pick one thing that you'd like to see them improve on, and mine would certainly be Porzingis' health, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I think we'd be picky-yoon about what the Celtics need to do. You just named Porzingis. That's my biggest concern is I don't want to see them finish second in the Eastern Conference. Because, let's say, if Porzingis, I have yet to see a definitive timetable on Porzingis and when he might be back. Is it before Christmas? Is it after Christmas? Is it after New Year? Is it, Martin Luther King Day in February? I have not seen that. I think it's very important to find out how long Porzingis will be out, because I want that trajectory of the Celtics to be arcing towards first place the entire season throughout the 82 games. Because I badly want the Celtics to have home court advantage once the playoffs begin, because I think the Eastern Conference is loaded.
Mm.
So I think the Celtics, they did lose a couple of players, fringe players in the offseason, O'Shea Brissett being the best of that group. But this Walker kid, Lonnie Walker IV, that they just added a couple of days ago, could be a real boon. I mean, I don't know if people know how good this kid is. He's 25 years old. He averaged his career average through six seasons is almost 10 points a game. He shot nearly 42% or something, 41 on three-pointers last season, and he shoots it at 65% on corner three-pointers, and he's a super athletic. Now, he was a free agent. Brad Stevens did a phenomenal job on this, Rick, and I'll tell you why. It's a no-risk free agent. In other words, he doesn't have a guaranteed contract. It's basically a contract to go to training camp and try to make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And the Celtics are deep. We're talking about him possibly being a 13th man or a 14th man on a 15-man roster. But if he makes it and he's playing time, he's capable of getting you 10, 11, 12 points. So it's kind of a tremendous move by Brad Stevens. So far, I was getting some notice in the NBA circles because this kid is talented. But it's a no-risk move because they could also put him in Maine for much of the season if it doesn't work out at training camp.
Where's he play off the bench? What's his position?
He's a 6'4", 6'5". He's a shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
Stupendously athletic. Matter of fact, I think one of the reasons Brad Stevens noticed him, Rick, is that he played so well against the Celtics. With the Brooklyn Nets last year, and he's had a couple of games where he had 24, I think one of his career-high games was 24, 25 points against the Celtics a couple of years ago. He's knocked around. He's been with the Lakers a little bit. He was with the San Antonio Spurs. But last season, he played 58 games with the Nets and showed a lot of quality minutes. And so, you know, it's a terrific gamble. I guess you can't even call it a gamble. It's a terrific add-on for the Celtics if he makes the team.
Sounds good. Mike, any other final thoughts about sports elsewhere?
Sports elsewhere. Well, I mean, what do we make, Rick, of... I'd like to get your take on this. What do we make of Jacoby Brissett starting over Drake May? I'm in no rush to put it a number three, even though he's a number three pick overall, in that lineup with the offensive line they have. However, Jacoby Brissett did not win the job. It's clearly a case of a veteran being put into the starting position. He had a 14.6 rating as a quarterback in the preseason. He put up some really terrible numbers. Granted, he got stung by a really bad offensive line. He got hurt last preseason game. And maybe Jerod Mayo just trying to protect Drake May's health by starting Jacoby Brissett. But he clearly did not win the job.
Right. I have mixed feelings. First of all, it bothers me that we're in this continuing rebuild for the fifth or sixth year now.
Yeah.
And ownership or management, however it turns out to be, has not retooled the team. One thing that Belichick did in his early years, even after losing the first season or two seasons, was he brought on, as you recall, a lot of veteran linemen who were good, not great, but good and hungry. And these guys were experienced and they knew what to do. We don't see that with this. We don't see that with this team. All you hear about is how weak the offensive line is. That's my one concern, is that management or ownership or money, whatever it might be, has not looked at the overall picture, or at least has not improved the overall picture. But then on the other hand, I think, and this is just a wild think, a kid like Drake May, who if he turns out to be electric, and he may be, well, he can take some of the pressure off the offensive line by some of his moves, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, he's very good at breaking out of the pocket and making plays and all that stuff. You wonder if Jerod Mayo is just feeling that the offensive line is so bad that he'd be putting the kid at risk in game one against the Cincinnati Bengals on September 8th. And I think eventually it won't be too long before Brissett has to surrender that job, whether it's because of poor performances or can't break out of the pocket. He doesn't have the mobility of a Drake May. It's just a matter of time, I think. But when you mentioned a factor there, Rick, money. I think the Patriots, when you look at it, I believe they have a lot of cap space. They have a lot of money to spend.
Right.
But they didn't spend it in the offseason on getting quality free agents or quality even cast-offs from other teams that they could insert to that offensive line. And it's going to come back to haunt them. And you wonder if Robert Kraft, for all the phenomenal things he's done in the last 24, 25 years, you wonder if he's up in his 80s, you're wondering if he's just saving some money and is going to pass it on to his children as they inherit the team. I don't know, That's a theory that I have in the back of my mind, because obviously he's not spending it on the current team
right.
to make them competitive. They won, what, four games last year? And I saw the Globe's main writer, Ben Volin, the columnist, he's basically predicting they're going to go 2-15, and it seems like crazy that that would be a record for the New England Patriots.
Right.
I think it's pretty realistic. If it's not 2-15, they could go 3-14 or 4-13 again.
Yeah, I agree. And one final thought on Drake May for me is that I don't see how he can be ready at this point. However, it does seem, you know, from the photographic evidence, the eyeball test, that he is progressing at a really tremendous rate.
Yep.
And I say that two games ago when he was in for that short series, or maybe it was, I think it was two games when he was in for a short series, a little bit more than the first game. He actually moved the offensive line around. He checked off at the line of scrimmage. He told people where to go. And that's his second game as a pro, you know, albeit a preseason game. But that I caught that, and I haven't heard anybody mention that. But that, you know, the pre-read snaps is what made Brady so great.
Right.
I almost said Grady Little.
yeah. No, I agree with you. I think the kid is intriguing. I would love to see him play with a solid offensive line to see what he can really do. And maybe Gerard Mayo is just trying to protect him for a while. And oddly enough, the guy who was so heavily bombarded with criticism last year, Mac Jones, I saw him play two preseason games, Rick, and he won the backup job to Trevor Lawrence with two brilliant performances. He threw for 230 yards in one of the preseason games, like 17 for 24. And last weekend he was like 13 for 20 for 130. He led him to 17 points. He looked like a completely different player while playing with a more substantial offensive line than he ever had last year. So we'll see. I mean, he's going to be the backup to Trevor Lawrence, but if he gets to play, we'll see if the Patriots made a mistake or didn't stick with him long enough, because he actually looks like a completely different player than he was at New England.
Well, he's a likable guy, and that second season he played where he was, or maybe it was the first season.
He was great.
Yeah, he was very, very good.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Mike, we're going to do it again. We're not going to wait 2 months this time.
No, because the Celtics will be, it's going to be such, I think it's going to be even better than last season, because, like I said, the Eastern Conference is loading up because the Celtics won the title, and they want to dethrone that team. So it's going to be really great to watch, I think.
Looking forward to it. Mike, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the few weeks, what we have left of summer, and we'll talk very soon.
Well, yeah, and you know, hope everyone has a great holiday weekend here on Labor Day.
All right, yeah, have a great weekend. Take care, Mike.
Take care, Rick.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
That's Mike Grainier, who is our basketball insider. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.